Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate instituted by God and signifying to us that mystical union which exists between Christ and his church. It is therefore not to be entered into unadvisedly, but reverently, discreetly, and in the fear of God, into this holy estate. These two persons come now to be joined. And to all the members of the family, and the guests, and the friends, we extend a cordial welcome to this joyful occasion as we gather in the presence of God to rejoice in one of his great gifts unto man. And we welcome those who are joining us by streaming video as well. I think at midnight in Northern Ireland there are some with us, and we welcome them to the sanctuary. I believe at the same hour there are some in Darlington, Maryland that are joining us, and others from the Free Presbyterian churches doubtless, and we are thankful for the technology that brings these beloved ones into our fellowship tonight as well. Let us bow together as we pray. Most holy God and gracious Father, we gather here this evening in celebration of thy vast goodness to unworthy creatures, with thanksgiving that thou didst observe that it was not good that man should be alone, and thus created for Adam a bride who were wed with thee presiding and gave to us the gift of marriage. We thank thee, O Lord, for Miles and for Lois, and for the sovereign working of God, the providence that brought their lives together, and that has now brought their hearts together as we join tonight to see them wed to one another. We ask thy blessing upon our gathering this evening. May the Lord Jesus Christ be honored. And may it not be forgotten that all we do here this evening is about him. And indeed, a beautiful picture of that day when the Son of God shall take unto himself his bride forevermore. May the joy that shall characterize that union forever be shed abroad in this union on earth. And as we celebrate its beginning and the one who gives us marriage, may we know thy presence and thy blessing. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us hear the word of God from the great 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The laws of our country lend their sanction to marriage. If therefore anyone can show any just cause why these two persons may not lawfully be joined together in matrimony, let him now declare it, or else forever hold his peace. I require and charge you both, that if either of you know of any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined in matrimony, ye do now confess it. Who giveth this woman to be married to this man? Let us all worship our Lord together by singing, as we find in the program, the bulletin for this evening's ceremony and order of worship, the hymn, The King of Love. Shall we stand together as we sing to our Lord?
seated. I'd like to thank Dr. McKnight for opening the wedding service this evening for us. We've been delighted that Lois has had an opportunity to be under his ministry in Reformation Bible Church these past number of years. This is one of the most important days in the lives of Miles and Lois, to enter into a marriage covenant and to vow to love one another for the rest of your life is a mammoth step for any couple to take. Miles is going to promise to love and honor and cherish Lois until death parts them, and she will pledge to do the same to him, giving due obedience unto him and submission unto the Lord. And they will vow together to be faithful unto each other the rest of their days. It's a very important step. From this day forward, they leave their mothers and fathers, their parents, and they cleave unto each other. They have chosen each other. They love each other. They look forward to life together. They anticipate many years of happiness and joy. They gladly set up home together, and they expect the Lord's richest blessing to be upon them. From this day forward, they are united as one flesh and joined together in this covenant, that is marriage. And I could spend some time tonight rehearsing what the scriptures say regarding their responsibilities to each other. And maybe I have more reason than most pastors to do that tonight. Not that I would be biased. But my thoughts, officially, her needs above your own. Must nourish her and cherish and provide for her and towards her, dwelling with her according to knowledge. And prepared to lay down your life for her. And you have chosen her as your love. And now you must love her as your choice forever. And you must do the same with Miles. Honor him and obey him. And be in subjection unto him as unto the Lord. And you too have great responsibilities as you're joined together tonight. It is a huge step for both of them. And that's why marriage is not to be entered into thoughtlessly or carelessly, but reverently and advisedly and in the fear of God. And your vows tonight are not just made before these witnesses, they are made before Almighty God. And therefore your greatest responsibility is to honor him in all that you do. So we could spend some time tonight going through what the scriptures teach upon that very important subject. And that would really stress for us the importance of this day in your lives. For as I say, this is one of the most important days that you have had. But it's not the most important day. Despite the joy that fills you both tonight as you think of your relationship and now your marriage relationship, there is another union that you have that is of even greater importance. And I'm speaking, of course, of your spiritual and saving union with Jesus Christ. What takes place here tonight is a symbol of that mystical union between Christ and his bride. And in Jeremiah 3 and verse 14, the Lord reminded his people that he was married unto them. In other words, he had taken them to himself. He was in union with them, and they were in union with him. That's what's involved in salvation, a union with Jesus Christ. Christ is joined to his people in a marriage union, and that's the greatest union of all. And I am thankful to the Lord that that's your experience, not just a past experience, but a living experience tonight. And as before we come to the exchange of vows, I want to draw your attention to some of the features of the union you have with Jesus Christ. I want you to think, first of all, the principle of that union. You're both here tonight because of the love that God has placed in your hearts for each other. It wasn't always there, but there came a time somewhere where you noticed each other and you thought, I'd like to know a little more of him and her. And that love flourished, it blossomed, and it brings us to this point tonight. And that's a faint picture. The love you have in your hearts for each other is a faint picture of the love that lies at the heart of our union with Jesus Christ and your union with Jesus Christ. We are his because he first loved us. And he loved us with an everlasting love. We did not love him, and you did not love him first, but he loved you first of all. In fact, we opposed him. We saw no beauty in Christ that we should desire him, but he set his everlasting love upon us. And what a love that is, that he came from heaven to seek and to save us from our sins. There was nothing lovely about us. Our sin had marred us. We were guilty and wretched and defiled before him. But Christ loved us for all of that. And tonight I urge you, never lose sight of the height and the breadth and the depth and the length of the love of Christ to your souls. And as you think of the love that draws you two together tonight, think of the love that drew salvation's plan and the grace that brought it down to man and the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Married love is a tremendous picture of the glorious and eternal love that Jesus Christ has for you. And no one loves you more than Christ does. The principle of that union. Think of the price of this union too. Marriages are expensive things. I would like to know from Miles sometime how much he has spent wooing you and winning you and dining you and doing special things for you, trying to enjoy your company and bring you to this point. It's costly business. I know, it's a costly business. But it's nothing. It's nothing in comparison to what Christ has paid to make his people his bride. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He explains that, I think, in Acts 20 when he talks about the church being purchased by the blood of Christ. And Christ gave his life for his bride. He shed his blood to make her his own. He loved her and he gave himself for her, to redeem her, to ransom her, to rescue her, and to make her his own. That's the price that Christ has paid. He's gone to the cross because he loved you. His love was not just in word only. His love was in deed, in the greatest deed this world has ever seen. Miles and Lois, never forget the cross work of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for you. And see each other as those who are redeemed by blood and who belong to Christ, because he has paid that price to make you his own. The principle, the price, the promise of this union. In a few moments you're going to make solemn promises to each other, vows and pledges and commitments. You'll promise to do certain things and be certain things, and the promises that you make are for the good of each other. But Christ has, as our heavenly husband, given us even greater promises. I will never leave you, he says. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. I have cleansed you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will be an everlasting friend to you. I will undertake for you in every detail. I will meet your every need. I will be your all in all. The promise of the union, the permanence of this union too. Marriage is to be until death parts us. Death severs that marriage bond between a husband and his wife, but it doesn't sever the marriage union we have with Jesus Christ. He will be your Savior, your friend, your Redeemer, your Master, your Lord, your King forever and ever. Things will change. Life changes. We make changes in life when we are changing people. Little stays the same in a world that's full of change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I think of the preeminence in this union. It is Christ. It's Christ. It's not us, it's Christ. For without him we can do nothing. Christ is your life. And therefore live your life for Christ. Praise him, love him, thank him, obey him, serve him with all your heart. And as you start life together tonight, never lose sight of the fact that before you're married to each other, you're married to Christ. Remember that you do not step out as a married couple on your own, but he has promised never to leave you or forsake you. And as you are happy together, remember to rejoice in the Lord together. Face the trials and troubles in the full assurance that he will carry you through. Seek his face. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Love him more than you love each other. Honor him as your God and Savior. And find in him your truest contentment. And recognize that except he builds your home, all your labor will be in vain. I love you both, but Christ loves you more. I pray for you both, but Christ prays for you more. And your parents will be there as much as we can for you. But Christ dwells in you, and you dwell in Christ. So love him because he has first loved you. And love each other in Christ and for Christ's sake. Miles, wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her as long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, obey, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him so long as ye both shall live?
Give you this ring as a token and reward that I've given you to you.
He gave this ring as a token and reward that I've given you to you.
Whom the Lord hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as this man and this woman have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God and in the presence of witnesses, I now declare them husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may kiss your bride. Gives me the greatest pleasure tonight to present to you for the first time as husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Miles Carper.